Stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live. But first, hi, I'm Pastor Bob Enyart with our Denver Bible Church update. And I've got someone with me in the studio. Hi, sir. What is your name?
Michael.
Oh, I can't hear. Could bring up his microphone. What is your name?
Michael.
Hi, Michael. How old are you?
Four.
Four. Who's your daddy?
You.
I am. Hey, Michael, you memorized the Bible verse, or you just started working on it yesterday, Luke chapter 2, verse 8, for our Christmas program. Could you read that Bible verse, too? Did you memorize it? Can you say it for us?
Yes.
There it is. Go ahead.
Now they were in the same...
Wait. Put the paper down, not in front of the mic. Go ahead.
Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out of the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
Wow. That's such a good Bible verse. Let me see if I understood it. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night.
You got that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Daddy did it right?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Michael, I'm so glad that you're going to be in the Christmas program at church, because the kids in the church are going to help to tell all of us about Jesus coming when he came as a baby.
Do you know, I'm going to sing a song at the church.
Yeah, you're going to sing a song at the church?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Now, I didn't know we were going to talk about this. What song?
About Jesus.
About Jesus being born in a manger and the stars up above looking down on the manger where he lay.
No, not that one.
Oh, a different one?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, Michael, I want to thank you for being in the Christmas play.
Oh.
Could you tell us the verse you memorized one more time?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
All right, Michael. Michael Enyart. How old are you, Michael?
Four.
4 years old. Have you starred in many Broadway plays?
What?
Have you been in other plays where you had to talk in front of people?
No.
I don't think so. This is your first, right?
Yeah.
Except maybe last year when you were three, when you might not even remember, right?
Yeah, I never remembered because I was three and I just had a birthday for a very long time.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of friends at Denver Bible Church?
Yes.
On Sunday morning, is that when we go to church on Sunday mornings?
Yes.
Sunday, do you like going to church?
Yes.
And what do you learn about a church?
About Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Who teaches you?
Bethany.
Bethany, your Sunday school teacher?
Yep.
Yeah.
Darlene and Mommy used to be our class.
Darlene used to be the teacher and Mommy.
Yeah.
Right?
Now it's Bethany's turn.
Does Bethany do a good job?
Yep.
Should we pay her?
Yes.
Yeah? A little bit of money or a lot?
I would just give her a lot.
A lot of money?
Yeah. I'll give her a whole box, and she'll open it and see what's in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a whole bunch of money.
Okay. Well, I'm sure she'll agree with that. So, Michael, I want to thank you for helping us at the church with our Christmas program. Thank you very much.
Oh.
All right? And now Daddy's going to have to do my show. Do I do the show every night, the radio show?
Yes.
Have you ever been on it before?
No.
No, first time in 4 years, huh? It's about time.
It's about time.
That's right. So thank you, Michael. Now, Daddy's going to go. Let's see, the music should be coming up here gradually. You'll hear music in your headphones.
Which I can't hear any.
Can you hear any now?
Yes.
See, that's the end of the Denver Bible Church Update theme song. And so, Michael, I want to thank you for coming on the air. Do I have to pay any union fees?
What are those?
Well, we'll talk about it later. Now, stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Service with the weekend.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. You could call in and chat about anything you'd like, 1-800-8-ENYAR. Actually, we might exercise some censorship. But 1-800-836-9278. Now, I hope we don't have more visitors this Sunday than normal, because if so, we'll have to fire Doug McBurney and replace him with Michael. If Michael brings in more visitors to Denver Bible Church than Doug does. Doug is traveling. He's in Las Vegas tonight with his wife and their daughter, Nicole. And they're staying at our dear friend of the show, Mike Tiemann. They're staying at Mike Tiemann's palatial home. What does Mike live on? 10 acres? With a view of the Las Vegas Strip and... Anyway, they're having a good time at Mike's house. They're there on business. So Doug McBurney, you can tune in to Doug's show, The Weekly Worldview, on the internet at kgov.com. Doug does that show every couple weeks at kgov.com. And let's see, what's the news? Now, the Roman Catholic Church in South Bend, Indiana, has had to pay out a lot of money to the kids that have been molested in the last 20 years or so. And the bishop, Bishop D'Arcy of the South Bend Diocese, he said, in this diocese, the amount of pedophilia is small. Most of this is against teenage boys, and that's homosexuality, not pedophilia, said the bishop. So anyway, we'll get to some of that article out of the South Bend Tribune. And we've got great news from Sears. Sears apparently is extremely supportive of their employees who are in the National Guard and Reserve and get called up for duty in the War on Terror, and that they give them full benefits for 2 years. They make up their pay difference. Just amazing what Sears does. And I haven't especially been a fan of Sears, but I'm going to read an email from the Sears customer service department in a little bit. And I actually called Sears today to find out maybe this wasn't true. And sure enough, it is true that Sears has a policy of going above and beyond the call of duty to support their employees who are in the National Guard and reserve. So we are thankful to Sears at this time of the year. I'll tell you that. And then what else do we have going on here? We have, of course, your phone calls at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Oh, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, they're requesting public comments. So I thought today I'd send them mine, and I entered a comment online over the internet, and it's brief, and I'll read it to you in a moment, but it's about the abortion pill, the morning after abortion pill. What is that pill called? RU486ing people. That's what it's called. RU486ing babies. The name of the pill is RU486, which is, I've always thought that was weird because to 86 something means to kill it. If you're going to 86 a program, if you're going to kill a program, you 86 it. That's at least. Has anybody in the studio audience ever heard of that slang? Yeah, people in business know that. I don't know if the average soccer mom says, let's 86 that kid from the team. But 86ing is to kill something. And so they call this the RU486. RU486ing babies pill. And they're debating whether or not right now in America you could get that pill and kill your baby, but it's by prescription. And so they're debating whether to make it an over-the-counter purchase. Just sell it in any... Could you imagine Walmart selling an abortion to their customers? Imagine the boycott that would follow. But at any rate, they're asking for online comments at the FDA website. So I'll read you my comment. You could feel in to call into the show with yours, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Here's my comment to the FDA. Abortion is the intentional killing of innocent children. All promotion of abortion adds to the guilt and suffering of our nation and the women of our nation, the guilt and suffering of the women. Rather than furthering the killing of unborn children, we should only work to outlaw these murders. One day, just as we've outlawed owning black people as slaves, we will one day outlaw destroying children as property. The U.S. Supreme Court has approved of both, to its eternal shame. Don't be a part of the bloodshed. Oppose child killing while you can. Sincerely, Bob Enyart, KLTT Radio and KGov.com. All right, let's go to Goshen, Indiana, 1-800-836-9278. Daryl, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. I just was wanting to tell you about my plan for corporate sponsorship of sending out brochures for Bob Enyart Live.
Oh, really? How does this work? Tell me.
Well, today I sent out several Judge Rightly and Nicer Than God brochures.
Yeah.
And they were sponsored by the Limbaugh Letter.
Yeah.
And Bush Cheney 2004.
Yeah.
And the Wall Street Journal.
Now you got to tell me how you're pulling this off, Daryl.
Because
those are pamphlets that we produced here at Bob Enyart Live. And we've got a lot of neat pamphlets, like Nicer Than God, like you said, about the Christian attitude. What should our attitude be? And Judge Rightly, and just so many fun pamphlets. So how are you sending these out with corporate sponsorship?
Well, these wonderful companies are so nice as to send me envelopes that have no postage required for returning it to them.
That's right. You know, we used to call that anti-junk mail missiles. Where we say take the Bob Enyart Live pamphlets. You could get a packet on the internet or call us for $10, a packet of our pamphlets, or you could get them in bulk, 200 pamphlets. I forget the price, $24.95, something like that. And then when you get this junk mail, these no postage necessary envelopes, you could stick something in there, say a pamphlet on why homosexuals should not adopt kids, and shoot that off back to the company. And I'll tell you, one very bored clerk is going to get one big wake-up call.
Yes, maybe I should have had the one about the homosexuals to send Bush Cheney.
Oh, no. Yeah, that would that might have been worthwhile. All right, Daryl, yeah.
I had one more thing about your discussion with Alan Combs the other night.
Yes.
One of the things, if you ever have the opportunity to talk to that man again.
Yeah.
You know, when he tries to talk about Jesus being a liberal.
Right.
You know, I would hit him with, Jesus commanded the death penalty.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Jesus commanded that if they don't work, they shouldn't eat.
And he did that through the Apostle Paul.
Right.
Right. In Timothy.
Right.
Right.
But those are commandments of Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus commanded that adulterers should be punished. Mm.
Not in the Gospels per se.
Right.
He did it indirectly in the Gospels because he said every death penalty command that God has issued in the Mosaic Law should be enforced.
Right.
Yeah, he said that in the Gospels.
And we know that we as Christians, we believe that Jesus is the creator.
Right.
He and the Father are one.
Right.
So everything that God commanded is a commandment from Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Jesus is the one who gave us the Mosaic Law. He's the one who spoke that law to Moses.
So every...
It's his law.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that you've been talking a lot recently about how the Republicans they tend to spend more money, and they don't do this, and they don't do that. One of the things that I've really discovered when I look at, well, if I look at the Democratic platform,
yeah,
I can go up and down the platform, and I say, yeah, I don't agree with any of that.
Right.
But guess what? The Democrats, they live up to their platform.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. Where,
or live down to it.
Live down
to it. Maybe
I
should say that.
Where
the Republicans have lots of neat things in their platform, but what I'd like to say is they don't stand for what they stand for.
Right. Yeah, it's sad but true.
Yeah.
Sad but true. Yeah, I would say liberals are way more true to their principles, which are evil, than conservatives are true to their principles. For example,
and they fight for them.
Let me give you an example. You think the Democratic Party, liberal politicians, would ever aggressively support a judicial nominee, like say an appointment to the courts that was strongly pro-life?
When hell freezes over.
Yeah, right. Hillary, the Democratic leadership, Democratic candidates generally, they would never, ever, ever, they would certainly never nominate a pro-abort and never support a pro-lifer as a judge. Never, ever, ever. But conservative Christian Republicans, they nominate pro-abortion judges. They approve of them. They vote for them. They defend them. They campaign for them. So
the other thing, I think Republicans want the Democrats to like them. And I think the Democrats don't care if the Republicans like them.
Yeah, well, I think you're also right on that. So why is it that the Republicans and the Democrats, they have these different supposed principles, and the Republican principles are closer to biblical principles, but the Democrats are true to their principles, and the Republicans typically compromise on their principles. Why is that? What's the reason?
Well, it's easier to compromise on your principles than to live up to solid ideas.
Yeah, but why are the Republicans doing what's easier? Why are the Republicans the ones who compromise, and the Democrats the ones who are true to their principles more consistently?
Well, maybe it's because the majority's evil.
I'd say you got something there. It's like what God said to Israel in the Old Testament. He said, Israel, my own people, the ones with the true and living God, you people are always rejecting your God.
Yeah.
He said, but look around you at the other nations. Look at the nations that worship Chemosh, and they worship Dagon, and Baal, and Ashtoreth. Look at them. Do you see any of those nations forsaking their gods? And the Lord said, no, the pagan nations of the world, they're true to their gods and their gods are false. My own people, Israel, you have the only true and living God and you deny him.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's the same thing today.
You just have to look at the commitment level of those Islamic terrorists that are out there blowing themselves up, you know?
Yeah, compared to the commitment level of the Christian who's in a spiritual warfare, who spends more time watching TV than any other single endeavor in life.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, we have an uphill battle, and the reason is because the flesh pulls everything, all believers and all unbelievers, down toward hell at every moment. And we Christians are trying to promote God and godliness, and we have to resist the flesh at every moment.
That's right.
And the second you stop resisting the flesh, if you think you could coast as a Christian or as a political leader, and you got all the morality you need to worry about, you got your positions down, you don't need to worry about God or the Bible or prayer, and you're just going to coast to success, you're going to fail. So to the extent, like any Christian, if you're not loving God and having faith and trusting him, then you're going to be going downward.
Spiritual gravity.
Yeah, and so the same thing is true with George W. Bush. every political decision he has to make, that he is not depending upon God to give him the wisdom to do the right thing, he's going to make bad decisions. And so that's what we see. We just see him expanding our socialist medical program here in America by $500 billion with this new Medicaid program.
That's sad.
$500 billion for my family, Daryl. That adds up to Cheryl and I and our kids. We owe now, once this program goes through, we'll owe $7,500. That's our share of the price tag going to the wealthiest segment of the society, which is senior citizens. So the families, the middle class, those struggling with young kids, those holding down two jobs, stressing out over how to pay the rent or the mortgage and the health insurance premiums, they're the ones that got to come up with $7,500 each of my family's share of the price tag for this $400 billion welfare program that George W. Bush gave for the wealthiest among us.
Yeah, to me, they've been talking about, especially the Democrats have been talking about campaign finance reform. And to me, the biggest corrupting effect of money in the whole process of democracy is that you can buy votes by giving people stuff.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's right. That's how it works. Bush bought the votes.
No, it's not about corporations sending money to the campaigns. It's about the politicians buying money, buying votes from the people.
Right. Like Bush wanted the support of ARP or whatever it is, American Association of Retired People.
Right.
ARP. And so he just offered them $400 billion for them to help him get reelected.
That's right.
That's not much. You know, it used to be if a politician gave somebody a few bucks to vote for him, it was a scandal. And today, George W. Bush can pick my pocket, your pocket, every family in the country. You know, there's about 100 million households in the country. So the way I came up with the $7,500, that's our part of the price tag, is I took $400 billion divided by how many people are in the country and then how many people are in my family. And
right.
So we got to pay about $7,500. But you could look at it another way. There are 100 million households. 100 million households in the country, and $400 billion means it's about $4,000 per household. And it depends on how the taxes get paid. Because
sure.
Everything, now with this program Bush enacted, $500 billion, I mean, last year, how much did corporate America earn in profits? I think it was somewhere around $1 trillion, I think.
It was a lot.
Yeah, so this new government program is $500 billion, half of a full year worth of profits for corporate America. And so we all got to pay this. And it'll help Bush get reelected, but it's called stealing. And
absolutely.
So, yeah, so that's what we're up against. That's what we're up against. It's rather frustrating. And, you know, Daryl, obviously you agree, and you can see all this, but most Christians don't bother all that much with principles.
They don't think about stuff. I mean,
well, yeah.
Most of these issues that you talk a lot about criminal justice, about taxation, about that, you know, most of the Christians that I know, they don't talk about it. They don't think about it.
Right.
They just kind of live their lives and go on, you know.
Right. And so they can fully support George W. Bush because they don't, for one, they don't know that he has appointed many, many, many pro-abortion and pro-homosexual judges. They don't know that, for one. But for two, they don't care. And for three, if somebody hands him a sheet of paper with his record of judicial nominees on it, they will not read to the bottom of the page because they don't want to know. They're going.
That's right.
Right, because we all want to, you know, we want to have a seat at the table, and we want to be kingmakers. Because who's more powerful, the king or the one who made him king? And so you got Christian leaders who pledged that they'll never again support a politician who's willing to kill one innocent child. And then what do? George, and they put that in writing, and they pledge it verbally in public. And then George W. Bush comes along, and he's willing to kill thousands upon thousands of innocent children for political gain, sort of like the terrorists do. And they cannot control themselves but to support him in contradicting their own pledge never again support a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child. And then George Bush comes along and seduces them into thinking, well, I got to support killing some innocent children. Otherwise, who knows how bad this country will get? That's how they think. That's how they think. Christians think we have to support killing some innocent children, because if we don't, imagine how bad this country would get.
Right.
And I think, you blithering idiot moron Christians, how stupid. Jesus said, don't do evil that good might come of it. And he said, what I really hate is the lukewarm ones. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. And I would say lukewarm is someone who says, I'm pro-life, but I nominate pro-abortion judges. I'd say,
absolutely.
Yeah, you can't get more lukewarm than that. Say, I'm pro-life because I'm against killing unborn children, but many of the judges I nominate are pro-abortion, and I'll defend them to the end. That's lukewarm. And that's disgusting. It's like saying the Nazis are wrong for killing Jews, but I'm going to support the Nazi politicians and judges who advocate killing Jews. What does that mean? It's wacko. It's evil.
Yeah, it seems by and large that the churches have seemed to be much more affected or influenced by the world than vice versa.
Yeah. A couple months ago, Daryl, I was talking to a leading Christian activist in a state. Go to some state, like, say, Kentucky, and take the state's leading Christian activist. And I asked this question of this guy. I said, where is the threshold between sin and crime? Which sins are also crimes that should be criminalized? And he said, wow, I never thought of that. And here I am thinking, how could you be the state's leading Christian activist trying to change the law, and you never even have begun to think through in any systematic way what should be legal and what should be a crime?
When that's something that the average Joe Christian should be thinking about.
Right.
Let's just our leaders.
Right. So at Denver Bible Church, we've spent the last 3 weeks, because we're in Matthew chapter 15, and we're going through Matthew in our Sunday school, and in the sermons we're going through Luke, which is a bit unusual to do two gospels simultaneously, but it's fun. And Matthew 15, Jesus is talking about the death penalty and what crimes who should be put to death, and it's because of man's tradition that we weren't obeying God. Now, granted, he was talking to Israel and the covenant of circumcision and the Mosaic law for Israel. That's granted. That's true. He was. But what are the principles that God wants us to use today to determine where does sin become crime after this? Bob Enyart here, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's the call-in line, but you could also reach the order desk at that line. Actually, the order desk has its own official phone number, which is 1-888-8-NYARK. But the secret is that both numbers get to the same office. So if you call the call-in line, you will not be discriminated against. If that's the only number you could remember, 1-800-8-NYARK, 1-800-836-9278, go ahead and call it. But you might want to check out the store online at kgov.com because it's so helpful, because not only does it have all our materials, it has an explanation of the products and special discounts. To all of you listening in Denver through over KLTT, AM 670, welcome. This is a live commercial break. I'm Bob Enyart. We now have at Bob Enyart Live, we have something we call the Salvation Pack and something else we call the Growth Pack, the Spiritual Growth Pack. So the Salvation Pack is not if you're not saved. If you're not saved, just send us a letter and request the Mount Moriah video, and we'll send it to you for free. But if you're listening and you would like to get someone converted to Christianity, we have what we call a Salvation Pack. It has five titles, five different offerings in it. It's got the Unlocking the Mystery of Life, the DVD Against Evolution, Mountain of Fire, that Mount Sinai and the Exodus is historical and true, Mount St. Helens, a video that shows it doesn't take millions of years, but in days you can have canyons and rivers, and Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and then the debate, does God exist, Bob Enyart versus Zaketh. You can get all of those five titles for $99.95. That saves you about $20 over the separate titles. And we call that the Salvation Pack. Boy, you give that to somebody? Wow. One-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And I think, now, do we still have Daryl there? Daryl, you there? No, Daryl?
Yes.
All right. Hey, Daryl. So, Daryl, we were talking about the threshold between sins and crimes, and that every crime is a sin, but not every sin is a crime.
Right.
And there's a threshold, and we need to know the principles by which God would have us declare certain behaviors as criminal. For example, envy and covetousness. In the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. So if you're coveting his car, you're envious, and you wish you had his car, and you could just smell the leather and feel the steering wheel. And why does he have it? He shouldn't have it. You should have it. You're coveting his car. That's a sin. But should you be arrested and tried? Should we bring witnesses? I heard him covet that car.
No.
No. But as soon as you act out on that covetousness and you attempt to steal the car, whether you steal it or you conspire to steal it, or you're an accomplice towards stealing it, or you simply attempt to steal it and fail, then that's where the government gets involved. And you go through the Mosaic Law, and if you understand the Bible and the correct principles of how to understand the Bible and how to apply, you know, not everything in the Bible applies to us.
Right.
Not everything. There's a lot in the Bible that does not apply to us. But what in the Bible does apply to us. For example, when Jesus said, if you get healed of some sickness, go offer two turtle doves in thanksgiving to God, not for a sin offering, but to thank God for recovering from some sickness, go take two birds and kill them and offer them as a thanksgiving sacrifice to God. When Jesus said that, well, we're not supposed to do that.
Right.
We don't do that because the rules have changed. And it's a part of becoming a mature Christian to know how have the rules changed and what principles do I apply so that I know how I should behave and how the government should function, how a family should be run, and how the church should function. And if you don't know the principles of how to understand the Bible and what applies today and what does not, like when God told Adam and Eve, eat vegetables. And they could eat herbs and vegetables and no meat. Well, does that apply today? I don't think so. What do you think, Daryl?
No.
No, God created Adam and Eve. He made them vegetarians. And then when was it that God said, now you could eat meat? Do you remember?
After the flood.
Yeah. Yeah, after the flood. That's right. So after the flood, God said, just as you were able to eat all herbs, now you can eat every animal that lives.
Right.
Is good for you for food.
Right.
And so then what's interesting, that was 1600 years. Then centuries after that, God said, okay, now you could only eat the clean animals that they were able to sacrifice. You can't eat the unclean animals.
And even that was for Israel.
And that was for Israel.
Right.
And then God says through the Apostle Paul that all things are clean. You can eat whatever you'd like. You can even eat meat sacrificed to idols.
Right.
You can even go to an idol's temple and eat the meat that was minutes earlier sacrificed to a false god. So God in the Bible changed the rules, and when he changed the rules, he did it for really important reasons, to teach us things. But if we don't even know the story of the Bible, if we don't even know that God changed the rules, how will we possibly understand the lesson he's giving us through those rules and what the principles are? We can't know.
Well, Bob, I had somebody a while back who's a Christian who accused me of trying to be Jewish for advocating the death penalty.
Oh, that's weird.
While at the same time, they were advocating keeping the law of tithing and Sabbath.
Ah, yeah, boy, you can't get more convoluted than that, huh?
No doubt.
If anybody's going to be Jewish, God said in, what was it, Exodus 31 or somewhere in the Old Testament, he said that the Sabbath is a symbol of my covenant with Israel.
Right.
He said that verbatim. And the Sabbath is a sign of his covenant with Israel. So if you're going to keep the Sabbath and accuse someone else of trying to be Jewish, that's a bit peculiar. And what else were they keeping? The tithing.
Tithing.
Yeah.
I think it's a must.
Well, you know, the vast majority of churches teach tithing.
Right.
At Denver Bible Church, we very explicitly do not teach tithing. We teach what Paul said, that you give cheerfully.
Right.
Out of a willing heart. And if you have a formula, you know, the law, the Mosaic law was very formulistic. There's a lot of formulas and rituals. And you could obey the formulas without having any kind of relationship with God at all.
For sure.
Whereas living by faith through grace requires a relationship with God. There's no other way to do it. And so how much should I give this week? Well, I should pray and ask God, Lord, here's what I'm thinking of giving. Please give me peace in my heart, whether I should give this much or less or more. And in the Bible, God said, you know, Daryl, I don't know if you've noticed this, but the churches that teach tithing, they only teach some of tithing.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Absolutely.
Like, for example, where is it? Deuteronomy 14? I don't know. Just guessing here. But Deuteronomy 14, God said once a year, he also said this in Leviticus, I think, once a year when you bring your tithe to Jerusalem, he said, if it's too far to go, then instead of bringing the animals and the crops, sell it and bring the money, your tithe. And before you give the money in, buy food, buy meat, buy wine, strong drink, and have a feast, you, your family, your employees, your friends, have a feast and pay for it with the tithe money. Because
mm-hmm.
God is basically saying, I want you to celebrate once a year, and I want it to be on me.
Right.
Because I'm God, I could afford it. So take your tithe and once a year have a party and pay for the party with the tithe money. And, you know, in all my 30 years of being a Christian, for 30 years I've been a Christian now, since 73 to 2003, of the hundreds of times I've heard Christians teaching tithing, never once have I heard them quote from one of the main tithing chapters in the whole Bible, Deuteronomy 14, when God said, once a year, have a party, a festival, a feast like on Thanksgiving, and pay for it with your tithe money. I never heard that once.
Never.
But you know what? If a pastor did stumble upon it, and not that pastors are evil, you know, the unbelieving pastors, like at the United Methodist Church, yeah, they're evil. But the pastors who love God, it's not that they're evil, but it's they in seminary, they've been taught tithing. And they don't understand the Bible. They don't even know this chapter's in the Bible. But if they stumbled upon it and they saw once a year you're supposed to pay for the Thanksgiving feast out of your tithe money, I could tell you how they'd interpret that. They would say, well, that week you're supposed to tithe triple. And then of the triple tithe, use some of it to pay for the feast and give the rest to your church, especially your local church, especially your pastor, and that better add up to at least 10% or you're sinning. And that's all a scam.
Bob, isn't there also a place in the instructions for the tithe that periodically called for the individuals to use their tithe money for meeting needs directly?
Same chapter, Deuteronomy 14, God says that one-third of your tithe don't bring to Jerusalem, but use to directly help widows, orphans, people who are hurting, people who are in need, from your hand to their hand, as wisdom would suggest.
They don't teach that either.
No, you never heard that one?
Well, I've never heard it except from your ministry.
Oh, no. But I mean, you never heard it taught? One-third of the tithe?
Huh. No.
Isn't that something? I haven't either. Oh, actually, Daryl, you know what? I did hear that. And you know how I heard it?
How was that?
The one-third of the tithe was actually, I heard it this way, that there should be three tithes, three 10% tithes.
Oh, man.
And actually a third, three and a third tithes if you're really going to be holy. And
wow.
Then these different tithes, and they use that chapter of all things to say really there should be three tithes, which is just unbelievable. And on top of that, I've heard so many churches teach you're supposed to tithe on your gross. Do you tithe on your net or your gross? And they say you have to tithe on your gross. Well, and they say, well, do you want God to bless your net or your gross? Sounds like a good argument. But how about when we've had a 90% tax bracket in this country and in Europe, places where they have a virtual 90% tax rate? We'll be back after this. Thank you, Daryl. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, Bob Enyard here with a live commercial break. Hey, so I told you about the Salvation Pack. If you want to get somebody saved, here's our best effort right here at Bob Enyard Live. Our best effort is you get these five materials for $99.95, for $100. Unlocking the Mystery of Life, DVD. Mountain of Fire about Mount Sinai, DVD. Mount St. Helens. About the volcano. What does that tell us about God and the Bible and the world, history of the world? Oh, it's so great. And Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection. And Does God Exist? Bob Enyart versus Acheth, Battle Royale 7. So those five titles, you save $20 by getting those five all at once in our Salvation Pack. And then you could share all five with one person or take turns, have a couple people, and say, I'd like you to watch this video, and when you're done, give it back to me. I'll give you the next one. and use the materials for a couple different people. Use it on family members, friends, enemies, neighbors, coworkers. And then we have another pack. That's the Salvation Pack. And you can read all about this online at kgov.com. Or then we also have the Growth Pack. And this is for people who are already Christians. And it's got the plot, a Bible overview, an MP3 CD, the plot, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil on an MP3 CD. That's a seminar on a CD, about 5 or 6 hours of Bible study. Then an audio tape album, Predestination and Free Will, and then a video called The Bible Tour of Israel. And you save $23 with that package. And it is so much fun. You know, Christians, sometimes we need a boost forward to grow spiritually. And after, how many years have I been a Christian? 73, 30 years. There's a typo here. It says 40 years on our website. Got to write that down and we'll ask Joe to fix that. I must have made that mistake. After 30 years as a Christian, these teachings represent my personal best effort at discipling another Christian, how to grow. So at any rate, that's the Growth Pack and the Salvation Pack. You're encouraged to check them out. Bob Enyart here, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. All right. Now, that was a neat call from Daryl in Indiana. All right. Now, let's see. Saturday, January 17th. Are you doing anything? Well, wherever you're listening to this show, wherever you are in the country, there's probably a March for Life that will be held somewhere near you. In Denver, it's at the state capitol. We meet on the west steps of the state capitol every year. This year, it's Saturday, January 17th at 1:30. And I've got a friend at Colorado Right to Life, Linda Brake. And Linda needs volunteers. In fact, she needs 16 volunteers to help with the March for Life. And if you call her, I'll give you the phone number, or you could look it up online or in the phone book, Colorado Right to Life. But I'll give you the number. But when you call, tell her that Bob Enyart said hi, and you heard that Linda needed some volunteers for the March for Life. And think about it this way. You may or may not remember to go to the March for Life, right? You might remember. You might write it on your calendar. And if you do, you might remember and you might go. But if you call Linda, and is it Linda Brake or Linda Brakey? I get confused about that. Anyway, if you call Linda and you volunteer and you say, "Hi, Linda, Bob said to say hello, and I heard you need a volunteer," and you volunteer and she's depending on you, then you'll definitely go because that's the kind of person you are. You give your word, you volunteered, you'll go. So it's a way to really make sure you get out there, and I'd love to see you and meet you. It's sadly, it's a small enough gathering that we'll all get to see each other. You know, it's usually a few thousand people. But hopefully it'll be more this year. But, well, we'll see, right? We'll do our best. And so the phone number at Colorado Right to Life, and I would think you could call right now and leave a message, and Linda will call you back. It's 303-753-9394. That's 303-753-9394. And her email is Colorado Right to Life, CRTL, at MSN.com. That's a great email ID. CRTL, sorry. Colorado Right to Life, CRTL, at MSN.com. And you know who are the people who are writing down the phone number or the email ID? They're the people who always help and always do something and are always busy helping and doing ministries. And so the people who should call Linda are the people who haven't helped before. And this would be the first time they've actually volunteered to help Colorado Right to Life do something. And this is just a one-time event. And you only need to volunteer for, it's probably a total of minutes or a couple hours at the most. And in fact, hopefully Linda will, if she gets too many volunteers, she should take just the new people, not the old people. But her phone number, Linda at Colorado Right to Life, she's the office manager, the full-time janitor, the person who does everything. Linda, she's a great gal. 303-753-9394. That's Colorado Right to Life's main number. And, okay, so, all right, we got that. We got the announcement to the FDA. We've got Sears. All right, Sears has this exemplary program. Talk about a good corporate citizen. Where, you know, if you're an employer and one of your workers is a member of the National Reserve or the National Guard, a military reservist, well, then by law, the employer is required to hold your job open. In other words, if you go for a weekend or for a week or a month or 6 months or a year to Iraq, when you come back, your employer is required to give you your job back. That's it. Now, according to an internet email I saw today, and I didn't believe, it was a little hard to believe, so I called Sears myself to check on it, was that Sears does a lot more than that. That when you go into active duty, let's say with the National Guard, if you were making $40,000, $50,000 at your job, or whatever you were making, $28,000, $33,000, and then you go to active duty, maybe your pay is cut down to $24,000. Whatever it happens to be, Sears is voluntarily paying the difference in salaries. That's amazing. And check out this. They're maintaining all benefits, including medical insurance and bonus programs for all the reservist employees who are called up for duty, and they're making a commitment to do that for a full 2 years. That's just extraordinary. That is so extraordinary. And so it makes me, I haven't shopped at Sears in 57,000 years. Sears used to be number one retailer in the world, and they lost out to everybody, and especially Walmart. And, you know, the Sears catalog, they killed that Sears catalog just before the internet went wild. Could you imagine the Sears catalog on the web? They would have sold everything. 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 From salt to 747s. You would have been able to buy it at the Sears catalog. And they folded the catalog just before the internet took off. That's sad. That's a sad thing for Sears. But anyway, this is the neatest corporate news I've heard in about a long time. So I got to ask my wife, Cheryl, if we could shop at Sears. Can we shop at Sears for anything? Do they have anything of any value whatsoever? Yeah, she says it's a good store. It's a nice store. So we're going to check out our local Sears, and maybe you might want to also. So here's an email from a Sears customer care representative at Sears.com, webcenter at Sears.com. Dear customer, and I've called them to confirm this, but dear customer, thank you for contacting Sears about our reservist benefits and salary program. The information is factual. We appreciate your positive feedback. Sears regards service to our country as one of the greatest sacrifices our young men and women can make. We are happy to do our part to lessen the burden they bear at this time. Bill Thorne, Sears Customer Care, web center at Sears.com. That's just extraordinary. I'm just really thrilled that Sears has done this. Somebody out there is going to have to call in and tell me where our local Sears are. Where are the local Sears stores? All right. He left his what in the studio? His what? Oh, is my 4-year-old is upset. He left his verse in the studio. Could Michael come in here to pick up his verse? At the beginning of the show at the Denver Bible Church Update, our 4-year-old son, Michael. Michael, here's your Bible verse. Do you want to read it for Dad one more time? Could you sit down at the studio table there in front of the microphone? Sit down in that chair, and you could take over Doug McBurney's mic. All right? Now, you got to speak up. We'll turn on your microphone. What's your name again? I forget.
Michael.
Michael? How old are you, Michael?
4.
4 years old?
Yeah.
Where's your mommy?
I'm right there.
She's right out there? She's in the studio audience? All right. Michael, did you memorize a Bible verse? Luke chapter 2, verse 8?
Yeah.
Could you say that for us?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Do you have to look at the paper to say it? Does it help?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't know how to read yet, right?
I read this a bunch of times.
Yeah, you memorized it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and say it for us.
I don't remember what's first.
Well, I think it starts with, now there were in the same country.
Oh, that's right.
Go ahead.
Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Wow.
Okay, now that you got your verse, you could go back and play with your brothers. Tell Zachary and Dominic Daddy said hi, and I'll see them in 3 minutes. It's good to have the kids here wandering through the station, hopefully not destroying any property or transmitters, for that matter. It's amazing what 3 little kids could do, ages 2, 4, and 6. Yeah. So church is fun. I don't know. There are some Christians who, they're Christians, but they don't go to church much or they shop around a lot. And for me, life is all about relationships, friendships, family. What's better in life than that? Well, I know chocolate is good, but what's better than relationships? And the reason God tells us to fellowship in the Bible is because otherwise you're alone. And you build relationships over a period of time. And the way that you get friends is you become a friend. You be a friend to people. And you invest yourself in others, and you build these relationships, and an excellent place to do that is at church. So Denver Bible Church, it's Friday night, right? Check my watch. Yep, it's Friday night. So 2 days we're going to have church, so come on out. And then a week from Sunday, we'll have our Christmas service, the Christmas special, and we're going to have our baby dedications we do every so often, once a year or so, depending on how many babies we've got crawling around the church. But we'll have our baby dedication that year when the parents stand up in front of the church and commit themselves before God and men to raising their kids in a godly way. So it's going to be fun. This Sunday will be great, and next Sunday. So come on out to Denver Bible Church. And until then, this is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. The consequences.